Transitions.
You're listening to The Age of Transitions. I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Sunday evening, October 30th, 2022. live every Sunday now from the facilities of Ocelli.com. Thank you for listening live. Thank you for listening to the podcast. My website is theageoftransitions.com. You can get the podcast and support the show there. We have a Patreon campaign. My book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood, is available at my website. Paperback or ebook copies are available of that. And you can also find the t-shirts, so the Ocelli Effect t-shirts available if you want to support the network. The money goes to Chuck and Ocelli.com on the Ocelli shirt. Also have the Age of Transitions t-shirt and Uncle the Podcast t-shirts available. So those are good ways to support the show. Also, you can click through my affiliate links if you're buying books or even other media online, but mainly books. Go to the bookshop.org link by clicking through the link on theageoftransitions.com. I have some suggested books there that are good, but also any book that you search and buy will some money will be kicked back to me if you click through my affiliate links through my site. So thank you for doing that and remembering to do that. And if you're starting your own podcast, consider using Libsyn as your podcast hosting service. I have a promo code, Franz, and if you use that, or again, click through the link on my site to use Libsyn, you'll get the first 2 months for free. So thank you for all of your support, for listening live, listening to the podcast. And one note, I'll give out the call number if you want to call in. It's 319-527-5016, or you can come on the show through Skype. Send Chuck a message, type him a message, and he'll bring you on the show. He's Charles.Ocelli on Skype, or call 319-527-5016.
Aaron.
Yes, Chuck.
I hate to do this to you, but we may indeed have to go to a break in order to restore call lines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Let's do that. Let's get the call lines.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay. I am... You don't even know, man. This is just craziness, but... the website is down. I know some of you guys are listening on the phones right now. I see you. You know, look, appreciate you guys. And don't worry, we'll be fully operational again by Monday or Tuesday. Just putting it out there. But, yeah, we're going to have to take a break, all right? I'm sorry. And come back around and sort of, not restart, because you've already given the introduction and the websites and all that, but get into the meat of the show after we rejoin the phone lines, okay?
Okay. Yeah, sounds good to me. Let's do that, Chuck.
Yeah, all right. So Aaron will return after this.
The Age of Transition.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request: support the damn show. And I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, you know, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Age of Transitions.
Welcome back to the Age of Transitions, live Sunday night from the facilities of Ocelli.com. We do have the phone lines back up, so feel free to call in, as always, 319-527-5016, or type Chuck a message on Skype, and he'll bring you in through Skype, charles.ocelli there. Or again, call 319-527-5016. Yeah, as Chuck was saying, the Ocelli effect, Ocelli.com, the website is down, but the streams are still working. So the Ocelli Radio Network stream is up. I was listening through the TuneIn app earlier. I posted that on the Twitter. You can listen there. The Ocelli Effect chat is available, although not on the site as it usually is. I also dropped a link to that on my Twitter. I'm at Franz Simulation for what that's worth. So yeah, we're back. We're back. Everything's cool. Yeah, you know, I understand completely how the internet can be and how things, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You know, one day you have a website, the next day you do not. That has happened to me more than once in the past. I get it. So it's crazy. I mean, I don't think I want to go down that particular rabbit hole tonight. The, wackiness of the internet and just cyber life, cyber security, all sorts of craziness there. We're not going to do that tonight because, of course, it is the eve of All Hallows Eve. Halloween is tomorrow. Big holiday, exciting time. It's a fun holiday. It's definitely a fun holiday. I'm sure most listeners enjoy it. And personally, it's always been a more fun holiday than New Year's Eve, let's say. I know that's almost sacrilege for me to say that, but New Year's Eve is only good now because we do Uncle's New Year's Revolution. And to me, part of the inspiration for Uncle's New Year's Revolution is, well, nothing fun ever happens this night anyway. So let's do something fun. Let's make something cool happen because we're not missing anything anywhere else. It's just people basically watching Ryan Seacrest on TV, right, or whatever else on TV, or sitting home just waiting until midnight, maybe drinking. So, you know, why don't we make our own show was kind of the idea there. But, again, we're bouncing around on holidays here, New Year's Eve, Halloween. Halloween kind of the kickoff to the holiday season, really, because once Halloween ends, I mean, the Christmas music starts up in a lot of places and kind of skip over Thanksgiving. But of course, Thanksgiving comes, Christmas comes right after that. Then you get the new year and then the holiday season is over for what it's worth. But we're kicking it off here. Halloween's here. Exciting time. And I'm not quite sure. I haven't been able to keep up exactly with the status of this, but I'm not sure if Halloween falls into that category of the war on Christmas. Or just generally, if the evangelical set believes that Halloween is an evil holiday that Satan made and now only Satanists observe it. And it's,
you know, absurd to say. Aaron, this brings up an interesting question, and I don't want to be on your air too much tonight, but apparently you're provoking me now. I have this bad. Don't worry, guys. This is not me busting Aaron's balls. Okay, he likes this. Here's the thing: you guys don't have trunk or treat in California, do you?
Yes, we do, Mike.
Oh, you do.
Went to one. Their school, their elementary school, had a trunk or treat. I took them to that. It was one night. So yeah, they typically schools do those or like churches and things like that. But I think I see where you're going with this now that I say that. But we did do that, Chuck.
Oh, okay. Because you know what I realized a couple of years ago. Now, when I moved to the South in 2014, was when I moved to the South, right? I lived in Jersey before that, so I was used to, you know, trick or treat and mischief night. And a long time ago, in some places they called it Devil's Night and they called it Hell Night, because it used to be kind of violent and rough, right? But not too bad where I used to live. I mean, you know, a little vandalism, a little light, you know, this and that. And of course, beating up kids on Halloween and all that kind of good stuff, taking their candy, this kind of thing where I grew up. Okay. But when I moved to the South, it was like, yeah, there was this sort of like, it's the devil's holiday kind of thing. And, then the churches started to do trunk or treat. Now, with COVID, it became even bigger, the trunk or treat deal. And they started doing like all kinds of stuff where basically nobody gets, you know, into a closed space with anybody else, but you go and you visit their car one at a time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had heard about this for a long time, but never really actually got Frankie out to these. But I noticed how lame it was in the deep south here. Trying to take him trick or treating was like impossible unless you knew the people in the neighborhood and you went to their house and they knew your kid was coming. I swear it's like, there's no like, let's go to the good neighborhood where they have money so that we can get good candy bars. You see, yeah, I know, yeah. I'm reminding people of things right as I'm speaking, but yeah, trunk or treat is really weird because it's just the same kind of thing, except you don't go to their house, you go to their car. And the churches love it here. A lot of, I met a lot of interesting reverends, pastors. Actually, a deacon scared the crap out of Frankie. And he went running. And the guy wasn't even in costume or nothing. It was a deacon from the church. He's got a trunk out, you know. And all this stuff, it's so funny to me because it looks very subversively old school Halloween-y, skulls, crossbones, witches, you know, zombie stuff, whatever. And yet, it's all in the church parking lots here in the deep south. That's it. Like, the schools don't do it, just the churches. And they're taking an opportunity to recruit, is what they're doing. So I'm like, this is very weird. And what the hell happened to Halloween, man? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And I didn't think they did this out west at all. But you're informing me that they do. Okay.
Yes.
Did it rise more after COVID?
You know what? I didn't notice specifically, but I'm going to just say probably. It probably did, now that you mention it.
Okay.
I hadn't even thought of that. It definitely is a new phenomenon, I think, the entire nation through. I think it's a new American thing, and probably due to COVID, probably spurred it on more. It was probably already there, but then that kicked it out, so it's like nationwide now, I would assume.
Mm. Yeah, I'm gonna do a little research on trunk or treat while you're talking and you're doing your thing, which I've already interrupted a couple times, once with a technical issue and once with this, cause I don't know, man, you know, Halloween is just, it used to be fun. I mean, as a matter of fact, I recently watched the King of the Hill episode. You ever see the King of the Hill, the first Halloween special they did, where, you know, Hank is trying to build a haunted house for the school. And a church lady totally flips out and says, oh, this is all for blood-drinking Satanists, and it's all evil. And then she gets it banned at the school and gets Halloween banned in the town of Arlen, which is a fictitious town in Texas. But gets it banned because the Satanists, forced her to run over her own cat or whatever. And eventually Hank goes out in a devil outfit, literally, his old devil costume from when he was a kid. And in protest, they're out there screaming, trick or treat, trick or treat. It's like his rebellion against, how dare you ban my holiday? Tell you what, you know. So, I don't know. Like, and I just watched that again recently, and I was thinking to myself, this battle has shifted in a very weird way in the past few years. But I'm going to do some research on trunk or treat and maybe drop some links in the chat room, you know, in case you want to pick them up and read them. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying, you could if you feel like discussing this more, but you might have more important things on your mind, so I'll shut up now. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Chuck. It's always good to talk on here. And yeah, trunk or treat, I have noticed over the past few years it has gotten more popular, for sure. I remember just vaguely hearing about it. I don't even remember what year it would have been, but it's definitely gotten more and more popular. And yeah, with the churches and the schools hosting these events. And so, yeah, it's a big thing now. And I know here in Riverside, where I am, it's kind of like a supplemental thing to the trick-or-treating, which, unlike where you're at in Georgia, the trick-or-treating here in Southern California is still quite it's a good place to do it for the kids. Lots of candy to be had, you know. And again, as you're saying, the right neighborhoods definitely get a bonanza of candy if you go to them. I don't know if that famous candy shortage that we heard about like a few months back, I don't know if that ever even happened. They were trying to scare that a few months back. I don't know if that even happened, but if it did, I don't know if it'll make much of a dent or not. I'm going to go trick-or-treating with my – I'm going to take my kids out tomorrow. So we'll see. Maybe I'll report back and let you all know how that went. But my best guess is that it's going to be just fine. It's going to be lots of candy. And basically, if it's just up to you. How much candy do you want? How many bags do you want to fill? And you just stay out as long as you want until you fill up as many bags as you need. That's kind of how it is here, honestly. So we'll see. Probably won't have to go out for too very long. I'm thinking, but I'm looking forward to it. It's fun. I enjoy it. Halloween's. I've always enjoyed Halloween. It's cool. But yeah, as we were saying, the war on Christmas, the war on Halloween, the devil taking over America, the Christians versus everybody else. I don't know what is. I can't keep up. I don't know if even they. And keep up with what they believe, what they think they believe at any given time. So I'm not going to give myself a hard time for not being able to do that because, you know, does it really even matter? It does, of course, because of them vying for power so often now. They're trying to institute a theocracy here in our country for some reason because they think the founding fathers wanted that. Okay. but anyway, again, I don't know if I do want to talk about that or not. I mean, we could get into the occult angle of the holiday, the historical angle of the holiday, and if you bounce around different portions of the world, you will see that around this time, similar celebrations do occur. And we've talked about that in years past on the show, so I'm not going to get too much into that either. However, let's just note that again, that this holiday is like the modern incarnation of something that has been observed by many different cultures and all different parts of the world. Fairly interesting thing. And of course, the further back you go in time, the further back you dial the clock on civilization as it stands, the more superstition, plays a part. And I don't think that superstition or magical thinking or any sort of, I don't know, unenlightened attitudes or whatever, you know, if depends on how you're looking at this. I don't think that has receded as much as people really believed it has, like in our modern, supposedly secular, society. I think the idea of like the modern secular society with, you know, the impetus of, you know, our growing technology, the scientific method, working out different ways to build society bigger, you know, the corresponding concept is that as that occurs, it just rationally you think that with the benefits that have been bestowed by this wonderful scientific process, that the population as a whole will be brought along philosophically. Into this new, again, secularized civilization that they appreciate and want, and that the importance of religion and all things like even like sort of metaphysical thinking or anything like that sort of begins to fall by the wayside. And of course, superstitions, the many superstitions of the past. And of course, there were some really, superstition was so intense. The further you go back again, hundreds of years, millennia, the superstition is at a level that today would make us go, oh my God, goodness, that is really, people really believed these things and lived their lives according to all of these different taboos and, rules and regulations, and the leader of the tribe or the king was actually believed to be a god, or if the leader was not a god, they were a conduit of the god, and any little thing that they did would have massive repercussions on the whole society. You know, the rains wouldn't come, crops wouldn't grow, things like this. And so that is the world that we come from, that as civilization grew, you can use grow as a metaphor, you can use grow as a symbol, in that civilization grew from out of pre-civilized human groupings, like tribes and things like this. The old world before civilization. Really, I think the growing of agriculture is the point that you can look at where civilization really begins to rise. And it's a very symbolic thing of not just taking what the earth's bounty as it is given to you, as the natural world offers it up, and you go, you hunt, you gather nature's bounty, and you live according to the seasons as they naturally occur, and you move if you have to find more hospitable life if you need that. But anyway, it's going from that to controlling nature via, again, not the scientific method. I mean, that came later, Francis Bacon and whatnot, but that's just an evolution of the same sort of concept of taking nature and studying it and using nature and again, creating agriculture, you know, gathering seeds, planting certain seeds, animal husbandry, that sort of thing. I can't remember the exact horticultural words for taking different seeds and breeding plants, and I can't think of the names for that right now, which is kind of bothering me. But you know what I mean. The coming of agriculture and kind of there's plants. The plants that we farm didn't come directly from nature. They were cultivated. They're different cultivars that were produced by a long process of basically breeding plants, you know, the equivalent of, again, the animal husbandry thing. You do that with animals, you can do it with plants. That all living things of the world can be changed, so it's more convenient that under your care you can grow them, care for them, and then harvest them for your own survival. And, you know, down the line we go to today. And certainly, I mean, Halloween, all holidays have something to do with the calendars, the seasons, the zodiac, the stars, the timekeeping device you use to keep track of the seasons. But they all have something to do with the seasons and how that relates to the process of the agricultural process, really. Okay, this is harvest time that we're coming into, right? We're coming into harvest time, but that also means it means different things. It means that it's sort of, you know, this double sort of good and bad thing happening all at the same time. You've got the good being that the harvest is upon us, different fruits and crops are now being reaped. The harvest is being reaped, therefore we have all this fresh food that we can eat now. However, it also is the time in which nature itself, all the plants are about to die, right? So nature is about to go through the death phase of itself, which later, don't worry, it's going to be reborn as it always is. However, first it has to die to be reborn. So we're coming into toward that necrotic death stage of nature. So you've got the interplay of life, death, all apparent in nature. We are working our hands in the soil and using our knowledge of nature in order that we may perfect it, right? Then there's your Masonic great work, is taking the natural order of things and just working, not working against it, but working with it and adding to it and perfecting it over time, long period of time, however long it takes, in order that you may reshape it into a more perfect, so that you may achieve a more perfect union, actually, is one part of it. So, and then what union are we talking about? The apotheosis of mankind is actually a part of this too when you get into it. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Suffice it to say that crops, agriculture, big part of it's really the harbinger of civilization, as far as I can tell, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, you've got where did civilization come? Let's look to history. It started in the Fertile Crescent, right? Tigris and Euphrates, Babylon, that area, the Fertile Crescent. So it was fertile. It had to be, because you had to be able to grow the crops, right? Otherwise, you weren't going to be able to build anything up. You wouldn't have the food stores to do it. You needed that. And so, you know, it's interesting to look at history and see those little linguistic kind of, to me, I mean, I think they're like little linguistic cues that you can follow. It's like, oh yeah, the Fertile Crescent. Okay, I see it. And you could dismiss it as, oh, it's just a mean, you're taking it too far, you're reading too much into things, but I don't believe so. I think that this sort of reading into history, reading into things generally, is what, this is how you get the full picture of what we're a part of. I mean, the truth is hidden in plain sight, as they say, right? They being those with eyes to see, just a fancy term for those who have been initiated into the knowledge of what we're doing, the knowledge of how civilization works, how it has been built up, right? There's another Freemasonic term, building. And they are the Masons. I mean, they fashion themselves after Masons, because that's what they're doing. They're building first the foundation of civilization, but then building up from there, right? And again, same thing, the great work of ages. The further you go, the more knowledge you acquire, the larger and further out civilization spreads, the further the great work is progressed along. What is the end point of this? You do have to look to occult religion to even begin to understand what that might be, right? But there is definitely a religious aspect to this. And you have to have faith going forward in all of this, because nobody knows for sure what the ultimate fate of our race will be. We can't say. We don't know the future. We can make educated guesses, can't we? We can, the optimistic view is that you must keep striving forward with this project, because what is the alternative, right? And again, the Masons like to use symbols like that of the desert. It's like, well, we'd just be living in a dry desert and just living off of pine cone seeds and catching small birds and picking berries in forests and things like that, and living in the darkness that we were millennia ago, which we we're supposed to have come out of. We were supposed to have exited the Dark Forest, right? The Dark Forest, which is a setting on lots of different Halloween tales. Things like, I forget the name of the Headless Horseman one now, but the one with the Headless Horseman, I forget the actual name of that. I can't remember a lot of things now. But anyway, you know what I mean. Like, the Dark Forest is iconic, and it comes out of old folk lore. It comes from pagan times. It comes from time immemorial. I mean, the forest was there as this dark, scary place, but also this beautiful, wonderful cathedral of nature as well. It can be seen as that, but again, two different sides of one thing. Everything has different sides to it. There's the dark, scary version of the forest, and there's the sort of fecundity, natural beauty side of it as well. But certainly a natural forest isn't symbolic of agriculture, civilization, farms, you know. And it's interesting to see how farming has sort of played out in our modern day. Lots of times the forest is still taken as this hostile enemy territory, this scary thing. This forest and the creatures within it are often seen as evil. Things like the scary animals there in there that will kill us all. Things like wolves. And a lot of really irrational fears of animals of nature and wild animals and things are not only have they been present throughout human history, but they're still going strong. People still have a really irrational fear of wolves. They kill them. Things like bears too, very scary. Not that bears cannot maul you, but you're not likely to be mauled by a bear. And wolves really, they really don't go after people at all. Barely. So the fear of things like that is really insane. But it comes from that same deep-rooted, archetypical sort of thing that's been passed down throughout our history. And a lot of, again, the old folklore, this has been instilled into us. And we have come so far out of the forest that any thought of returning is a scary thought of going the other direction, of trying to go back to this really murky past that we don't have a good recollection of anymore. And to get back to the present and farms, that's why you get farmers just to make way for farms, you have to cut down the old forest. You have to cut down and reduce nature in its natural state and make open up the land so that you may start growing your crops. So again, we see here, in order to spread civilization and the great project therein, you must destroy and kill the natural world, at least to an extent, right? And we're coming to a point now in our history where really on the brink of, we've done so much cutting back of nature. We've done so much removal of the natural world and replacement with all things artificial. And I think agriculture could be described as a form of artifice. You are playing around with nature, but it is still an art, right? Is it A&M schools? I don't know. Is there an arts and magnets? Am I right about that? And then also some of the A&Ms are the agricultural schools. So it is, crops don't just appear grown in rows out in clearings in the forest. That does not happen. It's only put there by our will. We have willed this world to be. And in such a fashion, again, we have expanded our numbers. We've been able to expand the size of the population, the scale of civilization, and through the perfection of technique, as described by Jacques Hulot, I mean, you can apply that to agriculture. Technique has run its natural course of continuing to perfect itself at the expense of all other things. And so it is, we've come to a point where the natural world has really been abused by us to a great extent. And we've reached a point in our collective history where we are at a reckoning with that fact. And it's a difficult reckoning because, first of all, you have to be able to face the truth of that and look at that and say, yes, we have reached a point where really we have brought a lot of destruction upon the natural world. Up to now, we've been able to explain that away because of the goods that we've gotten from out of it, literally and figuratively. We've created all sorts of goods in order that we may expand our world. And so we've been able to do this. We like the benefits we've gotten from these artificial processes, from technique, from agriculture, from civilization. It's seemingly made life easier. I think that point is one that's debatable. Some people would laugh at that, but I do believe it's debatable. And a difficult debate to have because, again, to really prop up the argument in favor of, look, we've done more harm than good. Maybe we shouldn't have done this in the first place. If you were to take that point of view, what do you have as evidence to prove your point? You have to go backward into the historical record, but the historical record breaks down, especially if you try to get to the point where if you're going full like anarcho-primitivist on your point, you can't go back to a point where we lived like that because it was so long ago. We're a long way out of Eden, okay? So we have a caller, which I'm excited to take. If you want to call in, you can call in and join us, 319-527-5016, or charles.ocelli. Send a message to Chuck. But now let's go to our current caller. Caller, you are on the line. Where are you from, and what's your name, and where are you calling from?
James von Glockenstein, and I'm calling from Rhineon, Michigan.
Oh, great. Great to talk to you, Mr. Glockenstein. How are we doing tonight?
Von Glockenstein.
Oh, Stein, I'm sorry.
Stupid American.
This is like the young Frankenstein in reverse here. Nice.
Trick or treat, Aaron. Happy Hell's Night.
Okay. I'd prefer treat, I suppose, but I'll take what I get. How's the holiday treating you over there in Michigan?
Oh, well, it's not so much the holiday. It's, let's just say I'll be happy for November to get here because I am broke.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that, Jimmy. That's not good. I hope you have prospects to make things better, perhaps. I don't know.
Oh, I'll be fine. I got a couple pinches coming in. It's just a damn rough month.
Got it. Okay, good. Good to hear.
Okay. You know, like most people, I have to do a little panhandling, a little can collecting, just the usual stuff to get by. Bidenflation.
Well, they call it a side hustle. The youth call that these days is a side hustle.
Spread the bread, man.
Yep, we all need.
Ain't that what the kids say? Spread. The kids say, "Spread the bread."
Do they? Is that a phrase they're using now?
Yeah, that's. If you use that, they'll recognize you as a fellow hipster.
Okay.
What was the other one I heard? I heard another one that's in vogue, I guess. What was it? Jeez, I can't remember now. Well, anyways, back to the fireman report there. So, I don't know. It seems like, so you're on board with what, going back to a more agricultural world?
Well, if you take that argument all the way to its previous situation, you'd go before agriculture. And again, with the anarcho-primitive view, that's what they do. However, anybody taking that point of view, I've heard people do it, and they do realize this, that there's no way of going back there at this point. You can't do that. It's impossible. We're locked into.
Well, what do you mean? From what I see, exactly what the left's trying to drive us into is basically decivilization. You got Mayor Pete talking about racist roads, wanting to rip out roads, infrastructure. People are so poor now, they got a farm. Half my neighbors, there's a fool up the hill, he's got a goat.
I don't agree with your point of view. I don't think the left is anarcho-primitivist. I don't think very tiny minority of people are even on that wavelength at all. But the ones that are realize that it's an impossible thing to achieve. We're not going back there.
Oh, it is very possible. You know how you could do it, Aaron? I almost called you Aaron.
I can think of a couple ways. It wouldn't be.
No, I can think of, here's the easiest way. You cut petroleum. Mm-hmm. You cut our gas. There you go. That seems to be doing the trick pretty good.
Yeah, but
do you know why Saudi Arabia? Go ahead.
If we're looking at the left, the concept is like, you know, the Green New Deal, whatever. What they're proposing is not going back to a pre-technological civilization. It's just that, now we have the ability to get rid of fossil fuels, but we're going to replace them with, you know, the electric EVs, the alternative energy sources that we're developing. They're not developed enough yet, but we need to put resources into developing all of that. So they certainly want to develop more. It's just a different system that they believe will come, but it's not going backward whatsoever.
Do they really believe it's going to work, though, here? And they passed it, by the way. Their so-called inflation deal was really the Green Deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what they think. I don't think they know what they think. But again, that's kind of like par for the course. I don't think that, again, the evangelicals know what they believe either. They just kind of believe whatever kind of feels good in the moment.
You know what evangelicals, because at the beginning, that's very confusing. What Republican president tried to install a theocracy?
Well, no, they haven't in the past. But if you don't think that there's a sect of the population, a significant sect that wants that now, I don't know where you've been, because clearly people are interested in the Christian nationalist. They're using terms like this, and if they had their way, you know, they'd like to. I'm sure they'd like to ban certain people from being eligible from like being on a jury or things like this, or voting and all this, just because they're not, of the right religion or something like that. You know, you'd have to be like, are you a Christian? Then you can't serve on our jury. You can't vote in our elections. You have to go somewhere else. I mean, if you don't see that happening, I don't know.
How long do you think it would be before the No, I've never heard of such a thing. That's just crazy talk. Just like all of a sudden the Democrats are throwing it. The Republicans want to cut your Social Security and Medicare. There ain't a single Republican out there seeing anything remotely like that. What they are is scared because they know they're about to get their butts beat.
What are you talking about in this election right now?
Well, yeah.
I've heard different ideas about that. I've heard some people see it one way, some people see the other. We'll find out what ends up happening. I don't know.
Want to hear my spread?
Sure, let's hear it.
I'm seeing a 250 plus House with Republicans, and I'm thinking a 55 plus Republican Senate.
Okay. All right. So that would be a Republican majority, right, in both?
Correct.
Okay. So I thought before you were saying that it was going to go the other way, that the Democrats were going to somehow make it out ahead, but I misunderstood that.
No. You need 220-ish to run Congress, and I think the Republicans got 250 easy. Could be a lot higher. Politico says 212 to 276, so I just kind of went in the middle there.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I'm not making any predictions on the election, because if I did, I'd surely be wrong. So, but we don't have to wait too much longer to find out what happens, do we? That's for sure.
Or will we? Or will it be a month-long thing? Oh, and also, since it's close to where you lived, I wanted to ask you what you've been hearing about this hammer time attack, because I've been hearing some rather interesting things.
Chuck, what's
up? Yeah, very, very interesting. So somebody tried to call in and dropped. Please do call back. I was going to tell you that you had another caller, but no, I would love to know what the local coverage is like on that thing too, just like Jimmy does. And I agree with you, Jimmy. I think you're looking at 255 and 55 is what you're looking at as far as a Republican majority. And so I think that's what's going to happen. How has the local coverage been, or have you taken notice of it regarding the attack on Pelosi that ended up, her husband dealt with it. So when he's not drunk driving, somebody's going after him with a hammer, it appears. Interesting thing about the theocracy, just really quickly, Jimmy.
Sure.
You know, in the state of Georgia, if somebody goes to a court and asserts in a court that you are participating in literally what is almost described as non-Christian or non-Judeo-Christian behaviors religiously, you can be involuntarily put on a psych hold here for up to a month. Okay? So, you know, it's interesting to me when people go, well, there's no theocracy, there's no religious test, but it's literally like a thing where if they're participating in these things, they are therefore dangerous.
Well, the Constitution does not bar states from starting churches. In fact, after the Constitution, there were a number of states which had official churches for several years.
Yeah, I
understand. The main reason they passed that the way it was framed was because they didn't want the Presbyterians is the New England version of the Old English church there.
Yeah,
they didn't want that to take hold.
Yeah, they didn't want a Church of England type situation. I get it. But it's interesting that when people talk about the supremacy of the, you know, of the U.S. Constitution, and then you take a look at the way the laws are, if you just, you know, mangle a little bit of something here or there, there could be religious tests for all kinds of things. If you basically take it down to behavior like they did here, and it's really weird, man. I don't know. You know, and when they talk about the sanctity of life, and quite frankly, a lot of now Herschel Walker's fighting back in those campaign commercials. I got to tell you, it's really entertaining in Georgia here. You know, that he's a man of faith,
you know,
and that he's gotten over his multiple personalities through faith.
thing, I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but I'll point to the fact that they were doing the same crap to that Matt Gaetz guy, and the FBI cleared him. It was exactly as he said. It was just slander.
No, so but I told you
maybe
that.
Maybe that's what's going on here.
Remember, I told you that from the beginning, that that was going to go nowhere with Gaetz. Okay. It was irrelevant. It wasn't going to do, there was going to be nothing of it. Also, on the same guy, I just want to say something before I go back to a broadcast again. You know, it's funny. A lot of people said, well, I don't think Elon Musk is going to let Donald Trump write back on Twitter. Guess what? right there. Then he takes over pretty much, right? So, yeah, I told you, that, look, it's really predictable what a lot of these people are going to do. And I don't know, you know, we could talk about the rhetoric leading up to all these things and everything else. But the core of what's going to happen here, I think, is pretty obvious and pretty easy to predict. But I do want to know about the Pelosi coverage there in California, Aaron, for sure, just like Jimmy does. One last thing, though. Are you ready to pay $50, Jimmy, on our bet?
Yeah, I'm already planning on sending that your way like the third or fourth.
Okay.
There's no point of waiting to the eighth.
No, I'm just busting your chops, but it's just pretty funny. And you know, Aaron, do you remember when we bet a dollar on something? What happened to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I deserve, we owe you a crumpled up dollar.
Yeah, you owe me a beat up dollar. That's right. Okay. No, Uncle owes me a beat up dollar.
He does. He does. I'm sure it's my fault for not sending it out, so I will do that.
Well, you know, around that time you get those business cards to me, right? Which I'll probably bring up again when you get Uncle on air, but, cause I love it. He was sidekick over there. He didn't get it in the mailbox. And then we got into the whole of your mailbox getting stolen, which I knew nothing about until he started talking about it last time. So that was great. Anyway, sorry again, I interrupted your show, but I would love to know what's going on with the whole attack on Pelosi thing. Because hey, it's your home state, man.
Well, I'll just say this is I thought that I was following the news because I've been reading a lot of news lately, more than I ever have, really. But this just goes to prove that when I think I'm doing something, I'm not, because I haven't even heard of this, which I don't even know how this happened.
Wow.
I haven't heard my mother-in-law talking about it. I haven't heard my wife talk about it.
Jimmy, so fill him in.
They missed it.
Fill him in and see if maybe. That's great.
This is like the biggest story in the country right now, Aaron.
Really?
Oh, the narrative that they're saying is that a random lunatic, well, there's, of course, the legacy media is doing their best to try to turn him into a Republican. But the records show that he's a nudist male prostitute who is in Mr. Pelosi's home at 2 a.m. Both men were in their underwear. Pelosi was in the bathroom calling for help and apparently came out after the man with a hammer, and the whatever other dude took the hammer and just about killed him, was going at him when the police finally, I guess they were there watching the final bit, and they broke it up and arrested this dude. But from his background, you could see this guy's 3'7" 100 sheets to the wind. He's a straight up lunatic.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Wow. Yeah, I have not heard that.
But the real story is that this Pelosi picked him up at a gay bar and brought this man home. They were both prancing around there. But the.
Is that the so called theory that's being tweeted out by Elon Musk, Jimmy, right now? Is that what Elon Musk has been tweeting about?
I have no idea what Musk is tweeting, but all I'm okay. going off is very early news stories on it that were out and from that area. San Francisco had a local newspaper guy wrote about it. That's what I went off.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of proud of myself for missing the story because, again, just when I think I'm following the news, I'm not, which is usually a good thing as far as I'm concerned. So I haven't fallen completely into the news cycle, so I got that going for me. I don't know what to make of this. I don't know who's saying what about it. I can imagine what different people would be saying about it, but no, I have no idea. I don't know what people are saying about this.
No problem, Aaron. I posted some links. I posted some links in the Ocelli chat room for you to catch up in the break, if you like.
Okay, okay. I can't wait. This is going to be good. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And make sure to check these local San Francisco newspaper articles. I'm curious what they got to say about things.
Yeah, you know what? I will look that up. Is the Sacramento Bee probably has an article on it. And what is the big paper in San Francisco, Aaron?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. San Francisco is in the same state, but really it's a world away. And I can't recall what their paper is. I don't know.
No problem. I'll do a little research. And you got about 3 more minutes left, and then it's time to take a break and go to Uncle. So it's up to you to time manage. I'm done.
Oh, okay. No. I hear you, Jimmy. I just want to say thank you for calling. It's been fun to talk to you as always. So thanks for calling. And if you want to, you can stick around and be on the Uncle Show. Do you think you want to stick around, or you could get going, Jimmy? Which do you prefer?
Well, I'm going to hang up and probably call back in the next show. I have to do it that way because Chuck's got me on his blacklist.
Here we go.
All righty. Blacklist. Fair enough, Jimmy. Well, it's been great to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon. And thank you. Take care, man. And then, yes, okay, so this is the age of transitions. This is the night before Halloween 2022. We're live on Sunday nights from Ocelli.com now. Remember that if you listen to the live show. Ocelli.com is down, but everything else is up. The radio network feed is up. The chat room is up. If you have the link to it, again, I post it to my Twitter if you need that. My website is up as always, theageoftransitions.com. Thank you for all of your continued support. I have some interesting shows coming up in the near future. So, you know, keep your, don't turn the dial or whatever the modern equivalent even that is. Just keep listening to the podcast episodes, I guess is what that is. but yeah, it's, all sorts of interesting things happening in our world. We've come a long way. We don't really know what we're doing, but we like to pretend that we do. Those that know a little bit more than others still don't really know what's truly going to happen. There is a religious aspect to all of that. There's Orthodox as exoteric religion happening simultaneously, which takes all sorts of nonsensical forms, which should be ignored, but we're not allowed to ignore because, again, people like that are trying to take hold political power at present. My opinion, I suppose. It's a little more than opinion, but whatever. Again, theageoftransitions.com. Stay tuned here on Ocelli Radio Network because it's going to be the Uncle the Broadcast coming up next. It's going to be fun. We're going to enjoy ourselves. I don't have any candy, but I'd like to eat some, but we'll get plenty of that tomorrow. My name is Aaron Franz, and I will leave you by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The age of transition.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Cut them down. Cut them off. Canada.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War.
By author Mike Swanson.
State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never before published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
When a fan of the Ocelli Effect calls in to the Ocelli Effect.
I just wanted to call in and tell you and Michael Swanson and JT Sicily and all of the guests that you have how much I love your show. Always interesting. It's always informative. I just wanted to tell you in person on the phone. I mean, I love you. I love your show. I love everything you do. I will always be there to support you. You know that.
We appreciate you so much. You have okay. No idea.
Thanks. And most of our fans just send hate mail and death threats.
Ocelli.com.
World order, gossip, hearsay, slander, rumors. There's a gene for that, okay? So how do you combat it? Slowly, carefully, painfully. It's a painful process.
Ocelli.com.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Warning, 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 warning.
Code Red, Code Red, here we are.
Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and hand me and listen to Uncle the Podcast.
Watch out.
If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
You are listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew-in-law. Here with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
This is 279, I believe.
I think 278, but...
No, it's 79.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm one move from 180. 280.
Okay.
So that's why I know.
We're live on Uncle the Broadcast this Sunday evening from the facilities of Ocelli.com. We're live every Sunday now.
It's Sunday because of his work.
Yeah, basically. That was...
It's the point.
We're changing days over from Friday night to Sunday nights. Same time, 11 p.m.
to US side.
Eastern, or 8 p.m. Pacific, which is for us. And the reason was just scheduling. I wasn't able to make it to the Friday shows, but I'm liking Sunday. Sunday's been working out. We've been getting lots of live listeners.
It's his first on, so that's why we are changing it over.
Yes.
Because he starts it.
Mm-hmm. So switching things up here on Uncle the Broadcast, I think it's going to be for the better. We're still, it's still the same show, just different day, you know, so I'm glad to be back as always. Uncle, you've got a new pair of headphones you're wearing.
Yeah.
They working
these
out for you?
Nice. You like boy, them? I like these.
Yeah.
These things are much better than those little, those things.
you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Got to go find some more of these at the thrift store.
That's where we got them, right? We found them there?
Store. Yeah.
Their store find, they say, what, Radio Shack Racing? Racing headphones?
Something
like that. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if they're meant for, like, being on, like, a pit crew, those ones that you'd wear there. They're sort of noise-canceling, and that's why I was playing around with the sound earlier, Uncle. I had to get a monitor set up so that you could hear me talk here in the room.
I've noticed something else. The whole line is fixed, Chuck, with the white all through the house to their room.
Oh.
I'm only doing something.
Yeah, you got the Ethernet cable now.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, good.
Yeah, I noticed that. I said, what's this? I'm all through here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I noticed no problems with the signal this week so far at all. So, yeah, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, we're back here in Riverside, so no live from Landers, no weird stuff with the. I've actually got the Ethernet cord hooked up, so
that's
maybe that's helping us too.
That's it. That's what I'm just talking about. Yeah, this white line.
Yeah. Oh, that's the white line. Yes, of course, white Uncle. Yes, the white line. Yes. Sorry. You're right.
We are going to talk about the baseball playoffs. If Eddie's on the line,
you can call
give
in.
Give him this number.
Yeah, call in. 319-527-5016 is the call-in number. Can come on through Skype. It's Charles.Ocelli. Send him a message. Type him a message. He'll bring you on Skype, Charles.Ocelli. Or call 319-527-5016. Uncle, I get the feeling you're getting used to the monitor with the headphones. Is that a little weird for you? You okay?
No, I'm getting used to it. Yeah. I don't mind me talking to myself because I'm always doing that. But
yeah.
It's just reflecting back.
Yes.
You know how.
It's something I have to get used to it too because I'm not really used to it. But just put it out of your mind. Just don't even listen to yourself.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there, Uncle. I see Count Pupper is in the YouTube chat.
Count's the one that likes the Phillies. That was.
Yes. Yeah, he's a fan.
He's a fan of them.
Apparently, know. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was happy game one when they came back from a 5-0 deficit. We were talking about it on Friday night because we were live on my show. And it was pretty wild. They came back and won that first one. Oh, really quick, Uncle, before you get into the game, though, I just want to do my job here and tell you that we got listeners in the Netherlands, Australia, Spain, and the UK tonight. So there's your foreign listeners. Nobody in Canada. Nobody in Canada tonight. But and they are, because of the problems with the website, are listening probably on their phone apps and stuff. But just letting you know, worldwide, we're still out there. So, okay.
Oh, it's on your side?
Yeah, yeah. My website is messed up. That's what the problem is.
That's probably why.
Yeah. But still, we got listeners from all over the world. So, you know, they tuned in and know that you're live on Sundays now. So, perfect.
Well, they know. So, I'm still waiting on the ladies calling. I haven't heard them. How long?
You know what? There was that lady from Spain that called a couple of months ago, right?
Right. That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, maybe she's the one in Spain right now who's listening. If you are, again, you can reach out to me on Skype, Charles.Ocelli, and you send me a message. I'll bring you in. Aaron, do you remember her name?
It's eluding me now. Unfortunately, no.
I can't remember.
I feel bad
because
she called twice, like 2 weeks in a row, but I can't recall her.
And she was on Skype.
Yes, she was on Skype.
Yeah, which you can do for free if you're in a foreign country and you're like, oh, I don't want to call because it's, you know, going to cost me money. You can call us on Skype and it's free. Just send me a contact request. Yeah. I'll accept it, and that way, you know, we can talk for free as friends on Skype, and I'll bring you into the show. So no matter where you are on the planet, I can get you on for free if you can use Skype. Charles.Ocelli is mine again. But anyway, I knocked you off track because you were about to talk about the playoffs. And, yeah, that first game, the Phillies took it 6-5, and then last night, well.
They predicted, I heard, that the first team that wins the first one wins the series.
Oh, yeah, historically, that's what happens. Mm. It's usually the team that wins game one goes on to win the whole series, is what you're saying.
It was also historical because I think there hadn't been a team in, I don't know, 60 years or something. Somebody can correct me on the amount of years that had come back from a 5-0 deficit in a game one of a World Series until the Phillies did it, beating them 6-5, which was pretty interesting. I gotta say.
It was. Mm-hmm. Well, we were listening on the radio. Mm. And
because we were in Landers.
We were in Landers that day.
It's in the internet radio.
Internet radio. I would have liked to have seen it live on the TV, but to see how they reacted, the fans.
Right.
Their fans.
Well, because they're in Houston. Yeah, I don't know what they were doing.
But they showed you. Well, later on, because I was broadcasting until 10 p.m., and that game went into extra innings. So later on that night, they showed you what was going on. There's like a big bar kind of joint that's across the street from the new Philly Stadium. And so they were showing you this huge group of Philly fans, like, getting excited and happy that first night when they won. So that was pretty entertaining. And Philly fans are definitely lively. So
They're wild.
They're crazy. I'd love to be there to hear the heckling that will happen when the Astros enter Veterans Stadium. That's going
to
be good.
That's cheaper.
Tomorrow night, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're going to play game three on Halloween night, which is pretty fun.
Halloween. Oh, that's true.
I used to go to Veterans Stadium. Because to see the Mets, because it was way cheaper to go see the Mets at the Philly Stadium than it was to go to Shea. So when I would go there, but I'll tell you something, you go in there with your Mets hat on, as I would do, and they were not very pleasant to you with your Mets hat on. And it didn't matter.
Of course, they're not rivalries. Yankees are to them.
It doesn't even have to be a rivalry. If you are any other team, you're going to hear about it.
No, but especially the Mets, because they're, you know, same division, and they would be playing for playoff spots against each other. But even when they weren't, boy, you go in there with your NY hat on, you know, in Philly town, and they would go nuts on you, man. It didn't matter.
They're crazy fans in Philly. I told him, told a sidekick here, I told him that when we started watching it.
Count Pupper saying that Phillies fans aren't even pleasant to each other.
No, apparently. Well, no, that's why there used to be. Now, I don't know about the new stadium, but the old stadium, they used to have a jail. There's literally a jail in the old Veterans Stadium.
Somebody told us that.
It was Chuck. It was Chuck.
It's true.
It was you.
It might have been.
Somebody.
But, yeah, look it up. I'm telling you. It was there. I saw it.
Well,
yeah, and you can bail your friends out after the game if they get locked in there. Just saying.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, let's get those rings calling.
All right. 319-527-5016 is the call-in number if you want to call. We'd love to have you, as always. Also, Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send Chuck a message, and I'll bring you on.
Where's Jimmy? Jimmy!
He was on in the previous. Oh, wait, we're going to call now. Did you hear the ring, Uncle?
No.
We got a ring. It's coming in. So let's go to this call here. You
gotta who are you from, and who is this?
Jimmy James.
Just talking about you, Jimmy.
There's your answer, Uncle.
Wasn't she Elena? Elena? Elena?
Elena.
Yeah, that's familiar name. That's her.
That was the caller.
That was her name.
Yeah, it was her name. Something like
Elena?
That. Elena. You're right.
Maybe.
It's something like that. We might have mispronounced it a little or whatever, but it was something. Jimmy James recalling it right because I'm pretty sure that was her name. Even if that's a mispronunciation, it was real close to that. So it was like that. Yeah. He got it. I couldn't remember, though. Okay.
Elena.
Elena. Cool. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, hopefully she'll call back one week. It was good to talk to her. She's a good caller. Yeah, she had a lot to say. So, Elena, I'm afraid that's not right. But do call back in if you get the chance. And anybody who's been thinking about call in for that matter, please do so sometime. We'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
We got Jimmy now. Jimmy, what are you up to?
What are you up to?
No, I watched the losing Lions stinking up the field again.
Yeah, I saw a bit of that game. Uncle, did you watch the entirety of the Dolphins playing the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. They know they win when they get over 20. I know that team like back of my hand.
The Dolphins.
Yes.
Yeah.
They got to get 20 or better. If they don't, they lose.
Yeah, well, they won today. And again, it was against the Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions, because they won.
Sorry about your loss there, Jimmy, but yeah, the Detroit.
Oh, that was
not having the season they hoped they might this year. They're not doing it well, I guess.
That's right. He's from Detroit, isn't he?
Yeah.
I forgot. But,
they're pretty much having the season I anticipated.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better, our Rams aren't doing well either.
Our Rams just got beat by the 49ers that beat us twice.
Yeah, that's not unusual, but it looked like LA could have won the first half, and then the last half they fell apart. They have Christian McCaffrey now who's just doing phenomenal, and Cooper Kupp went on to get an injury at the end.
Yeah, that's what I
everything heard. Was going wrong, so it was not good.
Well, I don't think they're going to be there.
No.
I mean, they've won last year's Super Bowl, and it's hard to repeat.
They're not going to. That's
they're
okay.
Not, they're
that's
not. All right. They're not, and it's I've okay. It. But you know, I got a prediction of a football playoff. Hate to say this, but it's going to be the Phillies and Buffalo. I have a feeling.
So Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles, yeah.
Versus the Buffalo Bills.
Correct.
Is that how the Super Bowl, that's AFC, NFC? Is that how that works?
That's
I can't
it.
Remember.
That's it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that could be who they could that's okay. Who they.
That's your Super Bowl prediction?
Prediction.
They're both
I
good
had
teams.
That prediction. The question is who? But that up in the air, on my head.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions, Jimmy?
Jimmy, what
Super
do you
Bowl
say?
Super Bowl predictions at the earlier on in the season here?
Oh, we're sitting here.
I predict that the Detroit Lions will not be in the Super Bowl.
Well, we know that.
Great prediction, Jimmy.
Well.
Okay.
What's this been there? Second year? The second year.
Second year of what?
He'd been with them.
That Jimmy?
Goff.
Oh, Goff? Is this the second year for Goff? Is it?
Quarterback.
Yeah, it is. It is the second. System. Yeah. It is the second. Yeah. I
the
just
second
think
year.
Yeah. I knew that.
Yeah.
Or is it third? Because let's see, who won last year? Well, you guys won last year.
Yeah, we won it last year.
Brady with.
Yeah, with the Buccaneers. That's
Was it the Buccaneers?
Yes, that was the year before.
Talking about them, they're last in the division now.
Yeah.
Have to be last.
Yeah, they're not looking too good.
I know. Well.
But yeah.
That's what I said.
Well, their division and my division looks like crap. So
you know who's got that division now?
It was Atlanta that's got the top 4-4 record.
Oh, they do.
It's a 4-4 record. Can you believe it's a 4-4 record and they're leading the division?
Yeah, it shows you that's not a good division.
That don't sound right. 4-4 division, man. Yeah,
it's working out.
Working out for that division. I don't understand.
Yeah, imagine where they would be at. Imagine where they would be at if they were, you know, in the division with the 7-0 Eagles, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Be a whole lot of nowhere, yeah. But they're leading their division. Yeah, it's weird this year with all the teams. Like, there's some that have ridiculous losing records, and then there's others that, like the Eagles, undefeated, but others that are close. That are
actually,
really winning records.
I just looked this up. 4-4 in that division with the Eagles is the Commanders. Are 4-4.
Yeah. But look at what they're doing.
Yeah, they're at the bottom. Mm-hmm.
They're just as worse.
Yeah.
They've got problems.
They got problems.
And it's interesting, they have the old Philadelphia quarterback Wentz is with the Commanders now. Yeah,
he come from the Phillies. Can you imagine this?
Originally, yeah.
Originally. He was with the Phillies.
Years, yeah.
And look at what's happening. They got it going for a record breaker. Trying to say, but they have to, of course, win it.
You know, they used to call him, back when he was on their good side, they used to call him Wentzylvania.
Wentzylvania?
When he was the quarterback for Philadelphia, and they believed that he was going to work out to be a good quarterback, they called him that endearingly. I assume the name changed rather quickly.
When they traded him. Or when they got rid of him. That fastly gone. Yeah. Down to tubes before that happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, now Philadelphia has the Alabama guy. What's his name? The Philadelphia quarterback from Alabama? I can't think of it right now.
No, Miami has him.
No. It hurts. Jalen Hurts.
It hurts.
So, yeah, I knew that. So.
Oh, wait. Did he come from it? Wait a minute.
He was from – so
Oklahoma. Oklahoma.
I thought he was from Alabama.
Oklahoma. He was from Oklahoma.
Was he?
The other one, the one that's with the Dolphins now was with Alabama.
Jimmy, let me know what you remember of this. My recollection was that Hurts and Tua were quarterbacks in Alabama at the same time, and they kind of switched from Hurts to Tua. Or am I thinking of somebody else? Is that how it worked, Jimmy, or was it somebody else? You know,
I don't really follow college football.
I'm sure it was.
I thought that was Hurts and Tua, and they switched over to Tua after Hurts was their leading guy, and then I forget if Hurts left or what.
No, because Hurts went to.
He left, I think. He might have left Alabama after he wasn't the starter anymore, and they switched to Tua. Is that what happened?
It might have been. I don't know. Who's online that would straighten this line out and give us a call on this line to know who'd call?
We need one of those sports podcasts.
Sportsman's
people.
They would know to understand this question.
We're just kind of like swinging in the wind here. I
thought it was the other team, and he's thinking Alabama.
319-527-5016 or Charles Ocelli on Skype. You can call in tonight or any Sunday night when we're live on Ocelli.com.
Yeah.
Yes, we're here.
Who is the Zach Wilson said that he's a new quarterback that just came out of college. Who is he with?
Is he the Jets guy? Or am I off?
Yeah, I was thinking. I know it's a New York one. I didn't know I figured, must be the Jets.
I think.
Because the Bills are doing real good.
Oh, yeah.
Jets are doing good, too, actually. They're not as good as the Bills.
Yeah, Miami the first game. No.
Wait.
Yeah. Where did they play them?
I don't remember that.
They played them here. They played them in Miami, I think. Yeah, that's right.
Of course, I mean, Tua had that
injury,
horrible injury where we don't know if he has brain damage from it or not, but it's highly likely. But he's back and he's playing well again.
He's
so that's
back and
really
playing
impressive.
Well. I think with him in there, I think they do better.
He's doing really good.
He's doing better now.
He's doing
good.
And
getting impressive. Him to play pretty good. Thank you. He was in this Detroit game, the one that you were with, Jimmy, your boys, and they were playing them back and forth, and come to closing in the second half, he came on and won it for them.
Hey, Aaron, have you ever considered getting Uncle on one of these sports, like one of these sports dedicated podcasts, and having him do picks?
You know what we should do is we really had ought to invite as a guest a sports podcast host. I'm sure that we can finagle that.
Right. Oh, yeah, I would like that.
Maybe we ought to do that, Uncle.
Like let's try that.
Like a guy that, like a guy that only talks sports. Like he wouldn't have a problem remembering where Tua came from or none of that because he's all on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would know all the answers.
He knew I'd be right. He'd be Alabama. He knows it.
And then you'd have, and then you could have Uncle give like picks of the week, which would be like awesome. Like, I mean, right now, right? The World Series is tied 1-1, right? We know who Uncle's rooting for, but that doesn't mean that that means that he thinks that's who's going to win. So what's Uncle's pick for the World Series, right? And the sports podcaster guy, he could hold back his picks and like you could do a thing. You know what I mean? I think it would be great.
Yeah. I remember we were doing a sports segment for your show for a minute there, Chuck. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
A little bit we put together?
No, I love that. I wish I could get you guys to go back to it, but then, you know, you guys were busy and this and that, and I don't know. Uncle was, like, happy about doing it during the Olympics. Then, I don't know, something happened.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah, everyone deciding if that was me on the picture. I remember that.
Yeah, I love doing segments like that. I love doing that stuff. But honestly, yeah, I don't have the time to do all that kind of stuff now. So,
well,
if there's any angel donors out there, so to speak, that just want to dump money on us, you know, you can send me an email and maybe we can work something out. And you have all kinds of that kind of stuff all the time.
I'd love it, man. I would insert the Uncle Sports Report. Like, if we could keep it like a short Uncle Sports Report, I'd insert that into all the shows. So, you know, you could be on every show.
I could do it, you know. No one's mentioning that. I was thinking of that.
Yeah.
But, I'm just saying. But,
like I say, we just need one good reporter that's a sports guy.
Mm-hmm.
One out of the bunch that we can find.
Right.
That would want to do that. Would want to do that.
I'm sure that we could get a sports podcaster as a guest, Uncle.
That's what I mean.
I'll have to search around for...
That's what I'm talking about.
That description. For a guest. No, there's a lot of them.
There's got to be a guy who would like just love the hell out of doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll have him on.
What's Greg Gumbel's brother doing these days?
Oh, Greg Gumbel?
Greg Gumbel.
I don't know. That would be awesome.
Greg Gumbel, I think he was playing. He was with the playoffs, doing the playoffs for the baseball.
You could call
him on it.
Yeah, you could call it Gumbel the Uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, he was on it. He was on the playoff. Not the World Series, though.
No, you guys heard about that, right? The show that...
He was producing, I think, the playoff. I don't know which side, though. I think it was the...
Yeah, but the reason I'm saying that is because there was a pitched show called Gumbel to Gumbel Seth MacFarlane pitched at one point, and then he turned around and parodied it on Family Guy. He pitched it to Fox that, like, Greg and Bryant Gumbel were, like, you know, a beach cops or something, and they called it Gumbel to Gumbel. And so it would be great if it was Gumbel to Uncle. That would be awesome.
I'd be happy talking. So this sidekick off the chair here, if I was... doing a sports report with the guy. You don't know what happened. Yeah. What happened? What are you doing? I'll be talking away at this. Because I could talk a lot of that sports stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
To the guy.
Lots of sports to be talked about.
But
I'm surprised I know as much as I do. I'm
hear the phone ring. I can't hear the phone ring. The phone ones.
We still have Jimmy on the line.
I know.
There
Jimmy's
has been
the
a new call. Well... No, wait. We dropped a call in last hour, but it's only Jimmy so far. And with that, Jimmy, anything else that you have to add, maybe on the sports front or anywhere else?
Yeah.
Let's see. No, I can't think of anything. I think someone new should call in. Someone that's never called in before, pick up your phone and call in the show. I want to hear a brand new voice.
Come on. Boy.
There's a challenge.
Very good.
We're sitting here waiting on your phone calls, Chuck.
I hear you.
We love these guys.
Yeah, so you can
Sunday,
call.
We're trying to talk and nobody's showing up. On a very large Fridays, what's going on here?
In previous weeks, we've gotten a lot of callers, but this week not as much. But they'll be back. They'll be back. I know that, Chuck, you're having some issues with the website. That might have something to do with it.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I forgot about the website.
That might be part of it.
Forgot
I don't
about
know.
Website.
Could be.
That could be.
They'll be back. We'll get callers, I'm sure. Yeah. So. Sunday nights are good. They're working out. Sunday night's a good night. I have way more energy on Sunday. Friday, I can honestly, the Fridays past few that we've done, I've barely been able to feel like I could stay awake, to be honest. We're all doing the show. So I feel like the quality of the show is going to increase quite a bit by just doing it on Sunday nights. So I'm happy about that.
Well,
been a little tired. No big deal. Just one of those things.
I like a bit Sunday myself. I mean, it is a break in between of what I watch on shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can watch them, and then by the time Sunday comes rolling around, I be ready to talk.
Indeed. Let's see. I'm going to see, because we do. We are
Who's
going,
in the chat room, by the way?
We are live streaming the video as we usually do. I'm going to see if I can get any numbers from that. It's not really giving me. The numbers aren't big there, but probably, I mean, I've been finding that the YouTube videos, people go back to watch them after the live show, and we get quite a bit of action there when people replay the YouTube videos. We've talked about this. But,
oh, yeah, I had some on my phone now.
It's going
on. I can get them.
YouTube front is pretty
YouTube
good, Uncle.
I can get on that now.
Not bad, not bad. That's something I'd be good to do is more videos, too. We haven't been doing as many videos as would be nice to do. That would be good to do more of them.
Yeah.
What's up there, Chuck? What's going
on? What's up there, Chuck?
Not much. You know, I'm just taking a look at people coming and going on the stream. Got a handful of listeners in Houston, Texas, which is interesting, a little cluster. I don't know what happened to the Seattle listeners. They were there the other week, and they're not there tonight. But... a bunch of people listening in Houston on their phones. Looks like iPhone, iPad, and an unknown device, and another one that's a phone. Yeah, okay, phones and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, cool. That's Creative Accidents.
That's one of them.
Town there, the town that he's in.
That's this one is of feeling them. Much better, these.
So you like the new headphones. Is that what you're saying, Uncle?
Yeah,
they're good?
Yeah.
They're working out?
It's not, cool. I don't know what you're thinking it was.
Well, you can hear me just fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I can hear you.
Okay.
I just can't hear the telephone rings.
I think the sound effect is just quite low.
Yeah, here. Take a listen to this. Let's see if you can hear it.
Oh, yeah, I can hear that.
Okay, yeah.
So that wasn't up. That wasn't up.
We're good, Uncle.
Because usually I can hear them.
I got you. All right, well, we got it.
So that's good. Any calls coming in?
Why ain't you calling?
Now people just got to call in.
I'm just reading this.
319-527-5016. Or charles.ocelli on Skype.
That's it.
Call in.
Did you have anybody?
I had Jimmy. We have Jimmy here. Same caller. Two different shows.
There you go.
Yeah, two. Oh, it's 1-1 tie.
1-1 tie, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We're sitting here trying to talk. Oh, but I
did
I
you want
to
talk
if...
about your TV show, Uncle? I know that you said something about that at the beginning, before we started.
TV show was the second of the golden...
Was that the Dragon Show or
no,
whatever?
No, not the Dragon Show.
It was the Sword Show.
It was the with the Ring.
Lord of the Ring.
Lord of
oh,
the Ring.
He's that.
I got
was
you.
Watching that.
He's two, watching the new. The new
I finished
one, yeah.
two.
Okay, two of them.
So now there's the third one yet, and I'll be watching all of them. Well, I get
okay.
Oh, so he's watching that show that's the prequel to the Lord of the Rings and that right?
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was very, very, and the ending was very, very interesting.
Is it good?
And then started to on him. Monsters coming at him. Chop, chop. Swords going at each other. Uh-huh. They're going into that.
Okay.
That show.
Good.
But
well, that sounds exciting.
But the guy that was really was the guy that had the ring was the young fella with his friend.
Oh, okay. So the one ring are we talking about?
Yeah, one ring.
Because there's several rings. There's like nine of them or something.
This one
goes,
ring
if I remember
with
right.
With the guy, the young boy that he was with the other guy that turned into a whiny, shiny thing he became after he was fighting this other guy.
What, one ring to rule them all and in their darkness bind them?
Right,
isn't
right.
that it?
That's
You're talking
it
about that
and
one?
The eye, and the eye looked.
Oh, it's he's already an eye? I thought
oh,
Sauron
yeah, were,
was like
there's
before he
one
turns...
eye, and he's looking right up there.
Mm. Is the eye like some sort of power of Sauron?
Wait.
So he's also like a humanoid being in addition to an eye.
Something
in this prequel?
Like that, yeah.
Does
but
he have,
it's,
he's
it's
embodied,
a plain
right?
eye. And what I saw, it was it's a plain eye.
He's only look, an eye.
But the plain eye there standing at saying then gonna be destroyed. And and he was saying that
because
him
of the ring and all that.
Wound
yeah.
of the winds. And this is
see,
how
I had thought that this prequel was going to get into him when he is no longer just the eye.
Well, that
he
might
has
be.
Like a body and all that.
It might be on the third one.
Oh, give him well, time. It's a series. You know, it's a series.
It's a series.
Yeah,
right, right,
okay.
right,
yeah,
right.
I don't know.
It's a series. Exactly, Chuck.
I thought he became the eye later. I don't know. I've read the books. I've seen the
You read these
movies.
Books don't tell you them. You have to see it on the film. You got to see it on the TV.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
that shows you what these books tell you is imagining. You're imagining things in your mind when you read the yeah, books.
Well, Tolkien never made these books as far as I know. They made – I mean – The Hobbit was the closest thing to a prequel to Lord of the Rings that you get with the
yeah,
books.
Yeah, that was the
There's the Hobbit, then there's the Lord of the Rings
yeah.
trilogy. Is
trilogy.
It right? Are there other books that I don't know about?
I think there are some other books, but the thing is, he built this whole history. If you notice in the Lord of the Rings, like even if you just watch the movies, they start taking these little historical journeys, right? Where they tell you about, okay, in the time, at this time, you know, the rings were forged and all that. He gives brief histories. So what they did is they took some of those brief histories, from my understanding, and expanded it into this script so that now it's not just this, like, you know, oh, we're going to tell you about the king that came before, you know. Like when the king actually takes the throne again after the sword is redone and all that. Well, there's the whole thing with his father, right? Who was fighting before that. And so they go back into that, but it's only mentioned in Tolkien's books as like an aside, like here's the history real quick. So this is meant to elaborate on some of that history.
Right. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, that yeah. much I know. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. but as far as like the particulars of it, forget it, man. I don't know any of it except that yeah. the elves, some of the yeah. elves are still alive from, yeah. you know, hundreds of years before you see the movie because they live a long time.
Yeah. Well, they were always like that. Too. I thought the elves were even immortal.
No, they were.
That was
in
my
this
memory
too.
That they were yeah. at least potentially immortal beings.
They were so, until yeah. something happened, and then you know, and that's when they take that journey to another place where they have to leave, and you know, mm-hmm. so that's the whole thing. And then, but that's my point is that there's all these histories, and supposedly this series is going to show you those histories.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
And
that's the
so
same thing
like
they're
that.
Doing with all the intellectual property these days and making the. If
I
not,
bet you haven't saw but the one, right? I don't think you've
no,
seen
it. No, I haven't seen
about
yet.
The series.
Of the series.
No, I haven't seen any of it.
I haven't seen
it.
I'm
just again what you're telling me, Uncle. Saw. I don't know
I
about.
I thought you saw some.
I haven't seen the series at all. I've seen the original
I think
movies.
My wife did, though. She's been talking about
Maybe. She may have seen it. I haven't watched it. No, I haven't.
You know what's really funny to watch? I don't know if Uncle ever saw them. Did you ever see the original movie series of The Lord of the Rings, the cartoons?
Oh, the animated
one? No.
Yeah.
I don't think. I've only seen minutes. I haven't seen the whole thing.
I can tell you no.
No. Uncle, you should watch those because I think you would get quite a kick out of the Lord, and it's much shorter than the new movies. I mean, new movies are what, you know, in their like most stripped down form are what, 6 hours, 6.5 hours,
at least that. Yeah.
Yeah. So these things were done in like 1 hour and 10, I think. These cartoons, so you got like 3.5 hours of like, and it's funny because two of them are in the same animation style, and then like the third one completely changes animation styles, which is really funny. Yeah. It's like,
I know,
but and they also did a Hobbit in that too. So you got all three of the movies plus the Hobbit.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know of those. I don't think I've ever really seen them. I've seen bits and pieces. That's it.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny.
You
got to
see the comic one. You got to see the comic.
Yeah, it's unintentional.
I have some audio. Remember Stargate, the film?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It starred the Richard Dean Anderson, who plays MacGyver, was in the movie, right?
Oh, it's a new one. That's the TV show.
He wasn't in the movie?
Hold on. He wasn't. In 1990, Kurt Russell played the character of Colonel O'Neill or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
right.
It's
a whole different movie.
That's right.
1994 movie. And then there was a gap, and then there was a show called Stargate SG-1. Awesome show. Uh-huh. But before that, there was these books. And I have these audio books. They're based on off of the Stargate movie, and they're just a completely different universe and stuff than the SG-1 story went. It's just a completely different story.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Kurt Russell was the movie. I did see that movie, I think, in the theater when it came out. I think I saw it.
You know, it's just like anything else, though. Like you were saying about the intellectual properties. I mean, you know, now we got, The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I mean, you know, all these different things that have now grown out of the Star Wars universe.
Right. Yeah, that, too. We got that.
Same thing with Lord of the Rings.
Clone Wars is animated. I mean, it's just, you know, as many of them as you'll buy, they'll make them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's just something different to watch.
Prime story.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks, the origin story of him. Yeah, we need that.
Yeah, sure. But what just does this ring to a man? It takes over his mind.
It corrupts.
It corrupts it. And this, every time somebody has it or look at it, they think of that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a cool, yeah. I like the concept
that's
of the ring
works.
Of power and the corruption.
That's how it works with this ring.
Yeah. It's real good in the books for sure.
Yeah.
Count Pupper is saying milk the cow dry.
That's what they do. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm willing to give the series a shot, I suppose. I just, again, I have to get around to watching it, so maybe I'll do that and I'll see, Uncle. But in the meantime, I think it's good that you're watching it and you're reporting in to us.
Yeah, I'm just saying to see that. So I'm just watching that because part of the other one that I was watching isn't out yet. Dragon.
Oh, the Dragon Show, yeah.
Dragon Show isn't
Dragon
out.
Show
Number
isn't
three
out, so
isn't out yet.
That's what we're doing.
That's why I'm going back to it. See,
I see.
I like to watch a show and say, well, what can I watch now that I've seen this one? And your wife said, go to see the rings.
You know what the test of success for the Lord of the Rings series is, Uncle? Is if Peter Thiel opens up a new business and names the business after one of the characters exclusively from this Lord of the Rings series, you know it's succeeded. That's the telltale sign of it.
Well, he's always liked that little guy for some reason. He liked that little guy.
Is that about the hobbits? Is that what you mean?
The hobbits.
Okay, yeah.
He always liked the hobbit guy. And,
who doesn't like
and
that?
And this little hobbit guy, he started with the ring because he had it last.
Frodo. Or Bilbo from the Hobbit. Because Bilbo is the original hobbit from the Hobbit that
who
has
is,
the ring.
Who is the one?
And then later it's Frodo.
Who is the one
Also that, a hobbit.
That must have been Hobbit then. It was Hobbit then that had the ring in the beginning of
do you know what we're talking about here, Jimmy? Are you following
Jimmy,
us?
Jimmy, you know what I'm talking
about? Smeagol.
Smeagol.
Gollum.
Gollum.
Yeah,
Gollum.
Also, he was a hobbit, too.
Was that his name?
Yeah, Gollum.
Gollum. He mentions the name in the movie. I lost track of the name, but guy that's little.
Gollum's, his hobbit name is Smeagol.
Smeagol.
So when he was a hobbit, Smeagol, he acquired the ring.
Right.
Then it inevitably corrupted him, and he becomes the character Gollum living in the cave.
Right. That was it. That was it. That must have been it.
Famously portrayed by Andy Serkis, but previous to that, that cartoon one I was telling you about, it's so funny because Gollum is like a lizard. In that one, it's like he's not even like a humanoid. It's really weird.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Turned him into a lizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I might have to go back to watch that one of these days too. The old animated ones. See if we can find.
Yeah, go back and watch these movies. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm only waiting until that one comes back. The original, what I was watching, but I'm keeping busy with that. With a show, so.
So I imagine you're not going to watch the Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix then.
Oh gosh, the sandwich artist at the Yucca Valley Subway recommended that, and he was very excited about it. But I don't think I'm going to end up watching that.
What is that?
The Jeffrey Dahmer.
So strange.
What dramatization? What do we call that?
Yeah, it's a dramatization for sure. But there's other parts to it too, where they go into interviews with people, and it's a mishmash of stuff. But it's mainly the dramatization of what happened. Got some serious flaws in it, but I have watched it. But I'll tell you, I think it is only for a particular type of person that really enjoys it. Even though it's super popular right now, anyway, I'm probably going to do a show on it. Just saying.
Yeah, the thing about that series is that for the younger generation, this is the first time they've ever really heard of Jeffrey Dahmer. So they're being introduced to him through the series.
Yeah, it's a shocker to some people that have been around.
What they would do is watch the show. People that haven't heard of him. Just watch the show, see what they get out of them, and then
learn all about it.
They can come back and review it.
Good. You could do it.
If they want it.
Do a review of the show, everybody.
You have to watch the show.
You have to.
You have to watch the whole show, not just little pieces either.
Whole show.
Sidekick.
I can't.
Little pieces.
Really?
You gotta go through the whole show.
Okay.
Like Top Gun.
I've seen a movie
that.
A shocker, because I had no idea it existed. Turns out that there was a Tales from the Crypt from 1970, starring that Pleasance guy from Halloween.
Yeah, Donald Pleasance.
Michael?
Keeper.
Michael.
No, Donald Pleasance, the guy who plays Dr. Loomis on the Halloween series, yeah.
Hey, you got a new Michael coming out.
The original Crypt Keeper wasn't a weird skeleton dude. He was like a Catholic priest that was killed in England during the switchover there during Henry VIII.
Interesting. It sounds more interesting.
He would tell three stories. It's kind of in the same style as the newer one.
Oh. Yeah, 1972 British anthology movie is how it's described.
Got it. Yeah. I didn't know that movie either. That's interesting. It sounds like it'd be worth going back to watch.
Some of these, I just go back to watch some of these movies because they make me watch shows and I've seen them before.
A lot of media out there to find these days. Oh, so much to dig through. The old stuff, the new stuff.
Here it is. I'm only using a little TV in the...
Here's a weird name from the past, too. I'm just looking it up. Joan Collins was in that movie. If you can believe that.
Joan Collins, Interesting.
Must have been so young, I didn't even recognize her.
Probably. I mean, 1972, that's the year I was born. That's a 50-year-old movie, man.
Oh.
Interesting. Have to check that one out. I know that I just got a message, Uncle, from Creative Accents. He wants a update on the mailbox. Do you have any new information on that? Our mailbox?
Oh, our mailbox.
Is it okay?
It's all cleaned up and ready to use mail.
We got mail back.
Got mail back, and now we've been able to get it.
Yep. So, and more accidents. On mail theft, I think it was my wife. Were you with her the day that she went to go get our mail at the post office? And when she was there picking up the mail, somebody came in from outside.
Oh, no.
Were you there for this, Uncle?
Nana was.
Oh, okay. So anyway, somebody came in from outside with a whole bunch of mail in their hands, and they gave it to the clerks. They're like, here, this is mail. Somebody was just pulling this out of the mailbox, stealing it in broad daylight. They're like, what? Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm bringing it back into you now. But they were out there stealing it from your box out front. So there's more mail theft in Riverside for you. There's a lot of it going on these days.
Well, it's just not here. It's all over the place.
It's definitely here in town, all over town. Oh, it's in front of the post office.
Now that we have the mailbox straightened out, we can send some up to him.
Yes, we can.
Cards.
We can do it. Yes,
well, give me your cards, Chuck. Now that we got that organized.
Well, good, because I'll tell you what. First of all, I need the cards. But second, you know what's strange to me is you got all this mail theft in Riverside. I live in a city where people are getting shot every day just about, right? There's armed robberies, you know, within a couple of blocks of me every day. And nobody's stealing mail here. Nobody's stealing the mail.
They
want to
kill a person.
They're robbing stores, shooting each other, but nobody's stealing the mail.
They gotta get with the times, Chuck. It's all about identity theft now. They're going, working too hard.
My city's old school.
Harder criminals is what I guess the credo out here.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, look, I guess it's more old school where I'm at. I don't know.
It's old school.
Yeah, all the burglaries and robberies, murder, all that wonderful violent crime. Where
I guarantee you more dogs get stolen here than mail any day. People steal
There's
the dogs.
There's a lot of missing dogs here.
It happens. That does happen. I don't know what the mail thing is, but it is widespread here. I know that much.
One of my neighbors not too long ago, somebody robbed their house and stole their dogs, too. And just, cleaned out all their stuff and the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, like three dogs. Big, huge dogs. No mail theft.
They wouldn't get me or our dog, I tell you. You'd be barking out. Them down the street.
You know what media is lacking in today's media ecosystem is those crime shows they used to play where they show like America's Dumbest Criminals or whatever, and then that narrator guy gets on there and says how stupid they are. Like, these idiotic criminals are so stupid. They're stealing dogs, and now they're stealing mail. Good thing the cops showed up to throw them behind bars. Remember those shows?
Oh, yeah.
No, they still have them. They still have them.
They do?
Yeah, they still have those.
They have
those? They still play, Caught on Tape. They still play a show called Caught on Tape, I'm pretty sure. Because I know I just saw one the other day.
This utter moron is endangering the lives of the public. It's good that our law enforcement is here to beat him up and throw him away.
Yeah, thanks. What was that? John Walsh was his name? The guy who did America's Most Wanted?
I think it was him narrating.
He's the guy who created that whole style of like, and these fools, look, they drive down a one-way street. And he had a delivery. He had a style.
He really knew how to lay into those criminals.
Oh, yeah.
Low-hanging fruit, kind of, but whatever.
Better luck next time, Sunday driver.
Yeah. Comments. He'd make wisecracks all the time. Yeah. I believe they might have gotten the same guy to narrate those when animals attack. I remember similar narration style. If it wasn't actually him, I can't remember for sure.
That guy was hilarious too. These bears are not trying to find out whose porridge is too hot or cold. They're gonna share the hiker. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, what in the world is this?
It's too hot, too warm.
Classic TV, Uncle. That's what that is.
Definitely.
How much time do we have, Chuck? Are we done? Is this it?
No, you got about 4 or 5 minutes because we started just a touch late. So yeah, you got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I was just about to tell
you. Okay, cool. We can talk more about when animals attack, part 8. That's good. We're going to need this time to do that, Uncle. Do you remember those shows?
Part 8. No. The only thing I do remember is one show, The Outdoors.
A show or a movie?
I have still got a kick out of that show.
You're talking about The Great Outdoors, the movie?
Yeah.
John Candy,
John Candy.
Dan Aykroyd.
They're going in there, and the guy's going to rip the guy, shot the ball off the guys with the bear, and he was running like a human butt. I still can't get over this.
Yeah, that's a funny movie. That's a good movie.
Gotta be laughing.
Spoiler alert, you're telling me your favorite part is where he picks up the lamp and he shoots him with the working shotgun lamp or the working rifle lamp and blows the fur off of the bear's backside, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That was very funny. You see that?
Oh, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I know it was funny.
They have the raccoons outside that have the subtitles.
He's going on, not... bing! You actually run away.
Yep. Yeah, the Great Outdoors. Yeah, there's a lot of good scenes from that movie. And John Candy, classic. Man, he passed many years ago. Classic movies still. I think that those are the movies that I believe still people watch. I think even the younger generation finds them and enjoys them. Definitely timeless comedy there.
Yeah, it's one of those classic 80s, you know, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and, you know.
Oh, and then blew the house up on the Christmas lights. That's another one.
Well, that's Christmas Vacation.
Vacation, going up the stair. How did it turn the lights on? Turn the light on. What happened here? The phone thing's burned down. Everything's going down.
Oh, yeah, the cat gets burned up.
Okay. Right
now,
Chuck, you got burned up.
Yeah, that falls into that category of movie too. I would say those classic comedies that still get play. Yeah,
the National Lampoon's, the whole series, the European Vacation. The kids change every movie.
That's always a little bit weird. It's the same Chevy Chase and his wife. They're the same, but then the kids are always changing.
Beverly DeAngelis and Chevy Chase, right? DeAngelis was her name, right?
I think so. They remain steady. Those are good. Those are fun. But let's see here. Now we are about there. Jimmy, is there anything that you want to say or any shout outs before we go? Jimmy, before we close the show out?
I guess rest in peace, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Lewis, what happened?
Oh, I was waiting for somebody to bring this up. Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis died just, yesterday?
Gosh, it just happened?
Yeah.
I did not hear of that.
I did not hear that.
Yep, the killer is finally gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not many of them early rock and roll guys left. So.
I'm surprised. I thought he was already dead, honestly.
Either yesterday or the day before. I forget when they announced. I think they announced it Saturday morning.
That was when we were at Atlantis and we didn't hear it.
Okay, we were out of the news.
That's your media blackout at the UFO cult compound. Okay, I got you.
Oh, yeah. That's how it is out there.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right, well, thanks for calling, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Unfortunate news, but yeah, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure. Take care, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, Jerry Lee Lewis. I'm surprised Uncle didn't. Uncle, you didn't know about that?
I had no idea.
Wow.
I've heard of other people when I'm here listening to people, but I haven't heard of him. Yeah. Oh, Dave Lewis. He was the one.
Great Balls of Fire.
Balls of Fire. Did he do the for the kids?
No. Not Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lee Lewis, the guy who did a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah.
Oh,
played
him.
The piano.
He played
the piano guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of.
You were thinking Jerry Lewis.
The song. Yeah, I know the song.
He was thinking Jerry Lewis, the telethon guy, the comedian. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, not Jerry Lewis of, Buddy with the Rat Pack and all that. No, this is Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire. Again, the most famous song, probably.
Jimmy Swaggart's cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, a lot of things going on with him. Interesting life, to say the least. But, yeah, Uncle, I think we're out of time here. So.
Okay, well. I think we're out of time now.
That's
psychic
okay.
says.
Yeah.
I don't know where the time clocks are.
It went away.
House.
That's what happened.
Well,
at Uncle Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, UncleThePodcast.com. Uncle, bring us on home here.
There's our show. 279 is in the books. Bye bye.